Welcome to the Dagum Republican Professor Podcast. I'm your Dagum host, Dr. Lucas J. Dagum Mather. We have wonderful news today. Actually, it goes back to last week. I've been a plaintiff in a case that was before the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit, including an Obama judge. Catch this. Catch this. An Obama judge came over to the side of the Trump judges on a Second Amendment case. Yes, it is the case called Michelle Nguyen et al. Versus Bonta, Rob Bonta. Man. Amazing. Friday, June 20th, 2025. It's a 3-0 win. There is a concurrence. It is a little concurrence from the Obama judge, and basically the concurrence says what they said was right. Two Trump judges, one Obama judge, all on the same side in the Second Amendment in the Ninth Circuit, the state of California. Bam! Overturning California's unconstitutional gun control law. And I'm excited about that. I'm having a celebration drink. Will you have one with me? Pause this and go have one with me. This glass is created by Pizza Port in San Clemente. They have wonderful deals on lunch. They are not a paid sponsor. I'm just doing them a solid because I appreciate it. Yeah, I mentioned that I was a plaintiff in this case, and it's true. This is Michelle Nguyen, Dominic Boguski, Jay Medina, Frank Coletti, John Phillips, who used to be on the radio, or maybe he still is on the radio, I don't know. Darren Prince, North County Shooting Center, Firearms Policy Coalition, San Diego County Gun Owners Political Action Committee, Second Amendment Foundation. I'm a life member of the Second Amendment Foundation. Two of these plaintiffs we've had on the podcast. San Diego County Gun Owners Political Action Committee Executive Director Mike, and Founder Michael Schwartz was an early guest on this podcast. And his second in command at the time was a lady named, oh my gosh, I'm totally bombing on her name. She was an early guest on the podcast too. Gosh, that's gonna kill me here. Let me look it up. Really embarrassed that I'm forgetting her name because I can picture her. She's so, there it is. Wendy Hoffman. That's it. Wendy Hoffman. There she
Good
is.
morning.
Yep. She came on the podcast February 16th, 2022. Wow, this had 16 comments. Jeez. What happened to all the comments? Well, okay. So San Diego County gun owners. Wendy Hoffman, and then Michael Schwartz was right here. How to be a Second Amendment advocate, activist. I don't know why his only has 42 views. Anyway, okay. Well, there you go. And we had the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation on. And let's go ahead and look up his episode because it important. It definitely important. And his name was, I'm totally blanking. Jeez. Well, let's see. I don't want to do the oldest. Let's do, he came on in 2023 toward the end of the year. There he is, right there. Remember, oh my gosh,
That's wonderful.
it only has 13 views. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Only has 13 views. What a great episode. You guys really missed out. Boo-hoo. Oh well, whatever. It's up there now, and I don't care. I don't count how many people see the episodes because I just don't roll that way, dog. But let's do this. Let's do I'm looking it up. Nguyen versus Bonta. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm so excited. I'm actually doing this instead of what I originally planned because I'm so excited about this case. It's wonderful. For publication, just take a look at this. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Oh my gosh. How sexy is this? Oh, take it in, people. Pasadena, California. Take it in. I'm going to take another sip of my special brew. Argued and submitted 2024. Resubmitted June 20th, 2000. Oh, John B. Owens. Okay, this is the Obama judge. Bridget Bade is a Trump appointee, and Danielle Forrest. The opinion is by Forrest. I believe that Bade and Forrest are both Trump appointees, and seniority on the Ninth Circuit. Let's try the yeah, okay, let's look at the seniority issue here. Okay. There's Forrest Trump. Thank you, Danielle. And Bade, also Trump, Phoenix. Forrest is in Portland. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Obama is Owens. Here's Owens right here. So you see that, guys? You see this? He's Obama. You guys, take this in right here. Take this in, guys. He's an Obama-appointed judge. Going with Bade and Forrest. There's Bade. You see that? Trump. Forrest. Trump. That's the first term of Trump. And Lord willing, we'll have some more coming on the Ninth Circuit. Oh my gosh. The district court summary judgment. Affirming. You guys, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Okay, who else do we have on the podcast? We had Chuck Michelle on the podcast twice. Not once, but twice. This is a TRP love fest here, guys. Hold up, yo. Hold up. Forrest, Circuit Judge. Let's take a look at this. Oh my gosh. California has, and not anymore, thanks to this ruling, a one gun a month law that prohibits most people from buying more than one firearm in a 30-day period. Isn't that special? The district court, I think that's Benitez, held that this law violates the Second Amendment. We affirm. California's law is facially unconstitutional because possession of multiple firearms and the ability to acquire firearms through purchase without meaningful constraints are protected by the Second Amendment, and California's law is not supported by our nation's tradition of firearms regulation. Background. The California legislature enacted the one gun a month law in 1999. Boo-hoo. Originally, it was focused on concealable handguns. Still boo-hoo. Correspondingly, firearms dealers were prohibited from delivering such weapons whenever the dealer is notified by the Department of Justice that within the preceding 30-day period, the purchaser has made another application to purchase a pistol, revolver, or other firearm capable of being concealed upon the person. California's purpose in enacting these restrictions was to make the world a better place. Oh, sorry, that's not what it says. California's purpose in enacting these restrictions was to be a bunch of do-gooders, in the words of Thomas Sowell. Sorry, I did it again. That's not what it says. California's purpose in enacting these restrictions was to stop one gun purchaser from buying several firearms and transferring a firearm to another person who does not have the legal ability to buy a gun, a process known as a straw transaction. It concluded that restricting how often an individual could buy a concealable firearm would curtail the illegal gun market, disarm criminals, and save lives. Hard to know if it ever did that because these are counterfactuals and we don't know the world that would have existed absent this law. Maybe one person's life was saved, but maybe one person's life was cost because they needed that firearm, that second firearm. I mean, how would you even know? This legislation, this do-gooder mentality. That we want to micromanage everything, including your constitutional rights. It's not good, man. It's not good. Not cool. Over time, Forrest continues. Judge Forrest, I'm going to take another sip of my brew. Over time, the one gun a month restriction was extended to more firearms. Shocker! Shocker! Shocker, shocker, shocker. That's absolutely shocking. You mean that they weren't satisfied with the level of infringement on the Second Amendment at first? They had to keep going as long as Democrats were in office? See that 2019. Just look it up. Who was in office? Look it up. Look it up. Governors of California. Governors of California. Look it up. Gray Davis was in office in 1999. Amazing. I didn't know that. You mean he was in office in 1999? Amazing. I didn't know that. Now lots of, some gun control have been signed by Republicans. I'm not saying that that's not true. I've been saying the opposite. But guys, the Democrats are worse. Except Owens was a Democrat and he went over to the bright side. This is good. Look. By 2024, it applied to all firearms. And I want to pay close attention to footnote one on page 10, because footnote one on page 10 is It's the thing that made me think that there's no hope in California. Okay, maybe I'm naive and I had some hope until 2024. But they applied it to private party transfers. Okay. They ceased the regulation. I mean, they didn't cease it, but they ceased calling it merely a regulation of retail and business licenses. They began to apply this restriction to private parties. Guys, I have newspapers, the Rocky Mountain News from when I was a kid. I've got the newspapers from when the Soviet Union fell. And in the classified ads, there's a bunch of guns in there. You can buy a gun. Yeah, I mean, Colt Python, $500. It's somebody's number. You give them a call, you give them the cash, and then you private party transfer. That was a much better world in terms of that goes for the Second Amendment than the world that we have today. Because now in California, not only did they want to get rid of that, you can't find that stuff in newspapers anymore. Not only can you not just transfer a firearm private party, but they are now saying, oh, you can't do two within 30 days. What in the world? Are you kidding me? This micromanaging, it's so arbitrary. You might not think it's arbitrary because it's just because you like 30 days. You probably wouldn't think that $299 and a price tag is arbitrary. But it is. It could be 298. It's totally arbitrary. This is a constitutional right. And all in California now, all of these private parties have to go through a firearms dealer. By the way, they don't make any money on this. So the state is commandeering gun stores to do these private party transfers, and they don't make any money on this. They have to store the firearm because of the 10-day waiting period. They have to do the administrative fees. I mean, it's insane what we're dealing with in terms of the Second Amendment in California for a Western state. In my correct opinion, that is knowledge. It's insane. California Penal Code currently states that individuals may not apply to purchase, apply. Oh, I'm going to make an apply like you're trying to get a job. And now this language of apply is totally bizarre. The fact that we're using apply to purchase a firearm. Apply? Is it a college? It's not a college, it's a constitutional right. But I digress. Individual may not apply to purchase more than one firearm within a 30-day period. And that statute prohibits firearm dealer from delivering any firearm if the dealer is notified that the purchase has made another application to purchase a handgun, semi-automatic center fire rifle, completed frame or receiver, or firearm precursor part within the preceding 30-day period. Some individuals and entities are exempt from this restriction, including law enforcement. By the way, Gunfighter Tactical never gave the exemptions any notice in their business, and I salute them for that. Correctional facilities, licensed private security companies, visual entertainment companies whose production by its nature involves the use of firearm, boo-hoo, film actors. In other words, Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin can have one. Licensed collectors, and by the way, licensed collectors, what a joke. You have to be licensed to be a collector. Well, actually, you don't have to be licensed to be a collector, but the fact that there are licensed collectors is a freaking joke. And individuals seeking to replace a lost or stolen firearm. Wow. Plaintiff appellees, me, are individuals who desire to purchase more than one firearm a month, three organizations whose members want to do the same, and two firearm retailers and their respective owners who want to engage in these transactions. They sued, claiming that California's one gun a month law facially violates the Second Amendment, applying Bruin. The district court granted summary judgment, for plaintiffs and enjoined California, from enforcing its law. California timely appealed, shocker, and a motions panel stayed the district court's injunction, shocker, pending appeal. We reversed, the day after oral argument. The day that you guys. We reverse the stay after oral argument. That is so cool. Discussion. On page six, seven. We review constitutionality of a statute de novo. We also review the legal conclusions supporting permanent injunctions granted at summary judgment de novo. Because plaintiffs assert a facial challenge, we consider only the text of the statute. Plaintiffs must establish that no set of circumstances exist under which the law would be valid. Guys, this is a pretty high bar. This is what Rahimi asserted. He asserted a facial challenge, and yeah, he didn't prevail under the Second Amendment. This is a high bar, people. I'm not really shedding too many tears for Rahimi, to be honest with you, but I did think that Judge Thomas had a great concurrent dissent. The Second Amendment guarantees that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This provision, coupled with the 14th Amendment, the Republican 14th Amendment, protects an individual right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. The analysis of a Second Amendment challenge is rooted in the constitutional text and our nation's history and tradition of firearm regulation. We first ask whether the Second Amendment's plain text covers the regulated conduct at issue. If it does, the Constitution presumptively protects that conduct. That presumption can be overcome only if historical precedent from before, during, and even after the founding evinces a comparable tradition of regulation. Page eight, the Second Amendment. You guys, are you having fun? I'm having fun. I'm having a hell of a time. Let us continue. To begin our analysis in this pre-enforcement context, we first identify the conduct the regulation prevents plaintiffs from engaging in. The district court identified the regulated conduct as buying more than one firearm from a licensed dealer in a 30-day period. The parties do not dispute this framing. We likewise agree that this is what the plaintiffs want to do and what the challenge law prevent them from doing. A word about this, guys. Take, for example, Orange Coast Auctions in Anaheim. It actually kind of feels like it's Fullerton, but it's Carol Watson Orange Coast Auctions. Am I over 18? Yes. And they just had a firearms auction. I don't know if you can see that. It was on June 22nd. This is just for an example. And they have a wonderful selection of historic firearms that come up. They did Patrick Wayne's collection, which is John Wayne's son. And in this context, it's very common to buy more than one firearm because you're there at an auction. Sometimes gun stores do other things and they have deals, buy a pistol, get half off a shotgun and stuff. And so this is basically trying to regulate these licensed gun dealers out of existence because it increases the cost of business so much. First of all, you have the extra administrative fees and time and resources. And secondly, you have to store more firearms because you can't move through the inventory as fast if somebody has to wait 30 days to get the next one. It's harder, it's easier to trip up and become an accidental criminal. And I think that's actually how it's designed. It's how it's designed. Next, we consider whether the plain text of the Second Amendment, by the way, I haven't even scratched the surface on this stuff. There's other issues we'll get into later. Next, we consider whether the plain text of the Second Amendment protects the regulated conduct just identified. It is well established that the Second Amendment's guarantee the right of people to keep and bear arms protects the right of law-abiding, responsible citizens to use arms in self-defense of hearth and home. That's quoting Heller and McDonald. This core Second Amendment right wouldn't mean much without the ability to acquire arms. Thus, we have consistently held that the Second Amendment protects ancillary rights necessary to the realization of the core right to possess a firearm for self-defense. While we have not defined the precise scope of protected ancillary rights, we have held that the plain text of the Second Amendment only prohibits meaningful constraints on the right to acquire firearms. We're on page 9 at the top. To demonstrate this principle, we discuss two of our prior cases. Texera concerns a zoning ordinance that made it virtually impossible to open a new gun store in unincorporated areas of Alameda County. We nonetheless concluded that the ordinance was permissible because there were 10 gun stores in Alameda County and buyers could purchase firearms at a sporting goods stores located approximately 600 feet from the proposed site of the planned store. What the hell does that matter? What a bunch of bull crap. Anyway, 600 feet. Well, what does it matter then? Just let them open it up. These people, man. We stated that the Second Amendment does not elevate convenience and preference over all other considerations. I'm holding back here. Similarly, B&L Productions concerned a California law banning firearm sales on state property. We explained that while a ban on all sales of certain type of gun or ammunition in a region generally implicates the Second Amendment, a minor constraint on the precise locations within a geographic area where one can acquire firearms does not. And we upheld the challenge law because merely eliminating one environment where individuals may purchase guns does not constitute a meaningful constraint on the Second Amendment. But you know what? Maybe it does, though, show that you're targeting constitutional right for disfavorable treatment. Certainly shows that. But Judge Forrest is doing an awful good job to get that Owens guy to sign on to this opinion. The laws. Oh my gosh. We considered. You're picking winners and losers here, people. But, this is a Trump appointee. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. She's trying to get Owens on board here. The laws we considered in Texera and B&L Productions are plainly distinguishable from a one gun a month law here, limiting where firearms may be sold when there are other reasonably available options. Yeah, they're only reasonably available though, because people have risked their capital and their livelihood to make those available options. Why are we counting winners and losers here? Is significantly lesser interference with an individual's ability to acquire and therefore possess firearms than banning the purchase of more than one firearm in a 30-day period. California nonetheless argues that its law is constitutional because, one, the Second Amendment does not guarantee the right to possess multiple firearms. This is California's Democrats. California's, the Democrats are saying this. California, the Democrats nonetheless argue that its law is constitutional because the Second Amendment does not guarantee the right to keep and bear arms. Oh, sorry, that's not what it says. Because the Second Amendment does not guarantee the right to possess multiple firearms. And two, even if it did, restricting the frequency of purchase does not prevent someone from acquiring multiple firearms. Both arguments fail. Yeah. Number one, California suggests that the Second Amendment only guarantees a right to possess a single firearm, not a married firearm, single firearm. And that plaintiff's rights have not been infringed because they already possess at least one firearm. California is wrong. The Second Amendment protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms, plural. Wow. Wow. Put that on a coffee mug, put that on a t-shirt. That is August in natural rights calendar, swimsuit calendar. Right there. The Second Amendment protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms, plural. This guarantees the individual right to possess and carry weapons. S, there's an S on the end of that. And not only is arms stated in the plural, but this term refers to more than just guns. It includes other weapons and instruments for self-defense. California's interpretation would mean that the Second Amendment only protects the possession of a single weapon of any kind. There is no basis for interpreting the constitutional text in that way. Wow. Remember Cayetano, people. Remember Cayetano. We go to Google Scholar. Google.com, Google Scholar. I don't care. Google Scholar. Cayetano versus Massachusetts. Check it before you wreck it. During Obama, March 21st, 2016. Stun guns protect stun guns. U.S. Supreme Court, baby. U.S. Supreme Court. All right. You getting this, guys? Not only is arms stated in the plural, but this refers to more than just guns. For these reasons, we easily conclude the plain text of the Second Amendment protects the right to possess multiple firearms, and we're not alone. The DC Circuit has held that the limiting the number of firearms an individual can possess or register within a 30-day period interferes with an individual's undoubted constitutional right to keep arms, plural, in his home for self-defense. Heller versus District of Columbia, Heller 3, 801. Third series of the Federal Reporter at starting at 264 on page 280, DC Circuit 2015. Wow. Who's on the panel in that one? Sorry, I have to look that up. DC Circuit, DC versus Heller. No, it's Heller versus DC, right? Heller versus DC. Not DC versus Heller. And this would be 801. There it is. I just want to see who is on the panel here. Oh, Steve Holbrook. Oh, my goodness. He was on the podcast. Chuck Michelle. He was on the podcast. This is a TRP love fest here. Yeah, Steve Holbrook. I follow his daughter now on Instagram. We go back and forth quite a bit. Great lady. Great family. Okay, so it was Henderson, Millett, and Ginsburg. That's Doug Ginsburg. Okay, so Ginsburg wrote the opinion. All right. Henderson, man, she's a real pain. Dissenting in part. What a pain. And then Millett is an Obama appointee. Huh. Well, I have to take a look at that. It seems like it's a mixed bag. I don't, I confess I haven't read this. We affirm in part and reverse in part. Okay. Well, I'll take a look at that later. Looks like it's a mixed bag. You having fun yet? Let's take a look at footnote one. I mentioned we should take a look at footnote one. Effective January 1 of this year, even private firearm sales are subject to the one a gun. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. I'm so glad this is overturned. Ridiculous. Okay. We're in number two now, page 11. California Next argues that the conduct it regulates does not fall within the protection of the Second Amendment because restricting citizens from purchasing only one firearm in a 30-day period does not prohibit them from possessing multiple firearms. California primarily relies on McRory versus Garland, where the Fifth Circuit upheld a federal law allowing gun dealers to delay a sale up to 10 days to complete a background check. Okay. McRory reasoned from Bruin that background checks not only not put to abusive means are presumptively valid, and concluded that a 10-day delay, which is different than a 10-day mandatory waiting period, which we covered on this podcast, see Judge Ishii's opinions last year. We covered that. We conclude a 10-day delay to conduct a congressionally mandated background check does not qualify as abusive. The McRory court also concluded that while the Second Amendment prohibits regulations that act as de facto bans, thus extending some protection to acquisition, on its face, it does not protect the right to purchase arms. California's reliance on McRory is unavailing. First, we have held that the Second Amendment does protect against meaningful restraints on the acquisition of firearms through purchase. It's amazing that the Ninth Circuit has that right and the Fifth Circuit doesn't right here. And if the Second Amendment's plain text protects the ability to possess multiple arms, which we conclude that it does, then it also protects the ability to acquire multiple arms. Let's read the quotation there. The right to keep arms necessarily involves the right to purchase them and to purchase and provide ammunition suitable for such arms. Andrews versus State, 1871. Second, we're on page 12. We have also held that the Second Amendment prohibits not just bans, but meaningful constraints on the right to acquire firearms. The delay in the federal statute analyzed by McRory served a presumptively valid purpose, but with California's one gun a month law, delay itself is the purpose. Correct. 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 Yeah, delay itself is the purpose. And all of the administrative costs and pressures on licensed gun dealers to squeeze their profit out and get rid of them in the state, make them go out of business, is the purpose. No doubt about it. By categorically prohibiting citizens from purchasing more than one firearm of any kind in a 30-day period, California is infringing on citizens' exercise of their Second Amendment rights. Wow. We are not aware of any circumstance where government may temporarily meter the exercise of constitutional rights in this manner. Channeling Justice Thomas. And we doubt anyone would think the government could limit citizens' free speech right to one protest a month, their free exercise right to one worship service per month, or their right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures to apply only to one search or arrest per month. First and Fourth Amendment text in operation there, the right of the people. We could go on. If the frequency with which constitutional rights can be exercised could be regulated in this manner without infringement, what would limit government from deciding that a right need only be available every 6 months or once a year or at any other interval it chooses? Totally arbitrary. Very good. California has had no answer to this concern at oral argument. That's because they have no answer to it. It's completely arbitrary. The point is that the Second Amendment is more robust than California accepts. That's an understatement of the year award right there. And the understatement of the award for 2025. The understatement of the year award goes to Nguyen versus Bonta, Judge Forrest. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I won, I won, I won. We love you, Judge Forrest. Thank you for writing this. It's monthly metering. We're on page th 13. Its monthly metering of firearm purchases meaningfully constrains the right to purchase and possess firearms and is thus presumptively unconstitutional. Roman numeral two, history and tradition. To overcome this presumption of invalidity, California must demonstrate its laws supported by our historical tradition of firearm regulation. This inquiry requires reasoning by analogy. We consider whether the challenge law is relevantly similar to laws that our tradition is understood to permit, applying faithfully the balance struck at the founding generation to modern circumstances. That's Rahimi at 692, quoting Bruin at 29. We are looking for a historical analog to the challenge regulation, not a historical trend. That's Twin, that's Bruin at 30. Why and how the regulation burdens the Second Amendment right are central to this inquiry. Rahimi at 692. Like, I am having like so much fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just having like so much fun. Reading the Ninth Circuit is like, oh my gosh, it's like literally so much fun. The how, the why and the how regulation, the why and how the regulation burdens the Second Amendment rights are central to this inquiry. If historical laws regulated firearm use to address particular problems, that is a strong indicator that contemporary laws imposing similar restrictions for similar reasons fall within a permissible category of regulations. But if a modern law regulates arms bearing for a permissible reason, it nonetheless violates the Second Amendment if it does so to an extent beyond what was done at the founding. Wow, talk dirty to me. Although California, this is footnote two, although California is bound to respect the right to keep and bear arms because of the 14th Amendment, not the Second Amendment, we need not wade into the debate about whether 18th or 19th century historical analogs govern. California's regulation is unconstitutional based on the understanding of both eras. Man. And an Obama judge signed on to this. You guys, I cannot emphasize this enough. California argues that the history of firearm regulation supports its one gun a month law for two reasons. First, it contends that we must take a nuanced approach. Oh my gosh, we got to be nuanced about this, guys. We have to be like so nuanced in analyzing history because the one gun a month law targets novel, unprecedented concerns. Second, it contends that the one gun a month law is consistent with the strong tradition of restricting dangerous individuals from acquiring firearms. We address each contention in turn. A, nuanced approach. California's nuanced approach argument comes from Bruin. The Supreme Court acknowledged that the historical analogs presented in that case in Heller were relatively simple to draw, but, and there's only one T, so don't get too excited. But that other cases implicating unprecedented societal concerns or dramatic technological changes may require a more nuanced approach. It is unclear whether this passage created a different standard from the otherwise applicable, relevantly similar standard, or whether it was a recognition that analogical reasoning may be more challenging in some cases where modern regulation addresses issues that could not have been contemplated historically. But we need not wrestle with this question here because a nuanced approach, whatever it means, is not called for in this case. You know, I like this paragraph because it's signaling to the Supreme Court that you need to be a little bit clearer here for these Democrats because they're going to use everything they have to ignore you. California argues that governments during the founding and Reconstruction, the Republican Reconstruction of terrorist Democrat control of the South in the years during slavery and right after, simply did not have to confront the societal problems created by immediate commercial availability of firearms for large purchases. It also asserts that large-scale firearms trafficking and straw purchasing were not problems during these eras because firearms were made by hand in a time-consuming and laborious process. Although there were manufacturing advances by the time the 14th Amendment was passed, existing distribution networks still did not allow for the kinds of bulk for firearms purchases possible today. Now, this is just wonderful because they pick apart this history here. It's just great. How much further do we have? Now, I'm going to summarize the next, how many pages? The next 8 pages. It cannot reasonably be disputed that firearm manufacturing and availability are different today than they were in early history, but firearm trafficking is not a new problem. Early colonial and American laws prohibited certain categories of individuals deemed dangerous from possessing firearms. And we have, 1619, the restriction on giving Indians firearms. Indians were the concern. Indians. Donald Lutz, by the way, good author. Check him out. Indians. You're going to see Indians, Indians, Indians over and over again. Indians. Yeah. Indians were dangerous, and there were restrictions on making these firearm technologies available to Indians. Okay. And by the way, California is relying on this history to argue for their law, the restrictions on firearms to Indians. Yeah. And by the way, the word is Indians in federal law. Case that gets your underwear in a bunch. I don't know if it does. So I just summarized quite a bit there. Historical regulations. California asserts, I'm on page, I skipped page 17. California asserts that there are historical analogs that imposed relevantly similar burdens as its one gun a month law for relevantly similar reasons. Fascinating that they're saying this. In assessing historical evidence, we do not isolate each historical precursor. We ascertain whether the new law is relevantly similar to all laws that our tradition understood to permit, looking at the why and how of the historical regulations. Here we first describe the historical record presented and then analyze whether whether it supports California's one gun a month law. So again, the threat posed by Indian tribes in the colonies did make some restrictions on the sale of ammunition to Indians. I'm on page 17, 18 at the top. Virginia also had a law stating any person found within an Indian town. Okay, again, Indians are the issue, selling arms to Indians, engaging with Indians. Yes, because they were considered a threat. Indians are a threat several times. Let's look at footnote 3. Plaintiffs fault California for relying on bigoted or racist laws that would be considered illegal in modern times. This is the plaintiffs are Republicans. The defendants are Democrats. I'm just pointing this out, guys. Okay. Indians on page 19. Indians. By the way, weird wording of word spelling of friends there. Got a double F there. I'm not sure why. Indian tribes. Again, mentioned there. Many times, Indian tribes. Native peoples are mentioned here. Native peoples. Indians. All right, I'm summarizing here in the interest of time. Let's take a look at page 20. Examples there. Okay, now at the bottom, but there is no example of a categorical ban on all types of firearms. For example, as California's expert observed, Tennessee permitted the sale of Army Navy pistols and Georgia permitted. So, I mean, these are Democrat states that are doing the, these are Democrat states like Tennessee and Georgia are Democrat states in this historical record that are restricting. They're slave owning states. They're Democrats. Finally, let's see. These are disturbing laws that California is saying support their law. It's really disturbing to me. I'm not saying that I blame people from being afraid of Indians. Most of them had a good reason to be, I would think. But now, we're almost done here. Basically, to sum up, California is basing its laws on some historical analogs, and they're not a historical tradition. They're a patchwork of some laws in the colonial period, some laws during the United States that targeted Indians, foreigners, and the intoxicated. But California's law applies to all firearms and nearly all individuals. That's kind of different, don't you think? California acknowledges it must, as it must, that not all Californias are dangerous, but it contends that laws preventing dangerous individuals from acquiring firearms nonetheless imposed a similar burden on firearm sellers by limiting the available buyers. This argument ignores that California's law primarily impedes nearly all individuals. Wow. All individuals from acquiring multiple firearms. As to the licensing, oh man. Almost done. We agree with the district court that historical law presenting the closest analog with relevant similarities is a law from Virginia Colony. That's not a great basis. It's not enough. As the district court aptly noted, this law imposes both a quantity limitation, carrying more than one gun and 10 charges of powder, as well as a temporal limitation, traveling any native town. Yeah, again, Indians were the issue there. Wow. Well, they also make it a point that the Virginia Colony law is 100 years before the founding, and it's not a historical tradition of the United States. It's during the English period, which we've already, because of the Revolution, acknowledged was tyrannical. Because the historical record makes clear that California one gun the month law is not relevantly similar to our tradition in how it regulates firearms, we need not go any further. It's page 24. The Second Amendment expressly protects the right to possess multiple arms. It also protects against meaningful constraints on the right to acquire arms, because otherwise the right to keep and bear would be hollow. And while Bruin does not require a historical twin for a modern firearm regulation to pass muster at page 30, here the historical record does not even establish a historical cousin for California's one gun a month law. Affirmed. Owens, circuit judge concurring. Who's Owens? But I just like looking at this. Who's Owens? Right here. Obama. Obama appointee. He concurs. Democrat. I fully concur. My gosh. Wow. Dude, it's a tiny concurrence. I'm not even sure why he wrote it. Makes no sense why he would write that. It makes no sense. Thanks for joining me on the Republican Professor podcast. I've been your host, and I've also been my host and the host of the Second Amendment. Yeah. As we get into July 4th next week, it is 25 June, 2025 years after Jesus. It's a Wednesday. God bless you guys. Talk to you.